We are watchmen, warriors, victors. Together, we will fight the good fight and finish strong. This is David Hebner Live.
Yeah, we are live. We are live every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Got to have a sip of my coffee. I know it keeps me up at night, but folks, let me tell you something else keeps me up at night is what we are getting ready to dive into tonight. You know, I've done over 200 interviews with victims of human trafficking, SRA, program multiples, mostly women, a few guys, mostly women. And just when you think, just when I think I've heard it all, someone else comes into my life. I'm hearing another story from another victim, survivor, that takes it to a new level, or should I say stoops to a new low. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And if you don't think it's real, wait until you hear this. Now, if you want to hear more on human trafficking, SRA, the things church doesn't talk about, you can go to davidhebner.tv. We have over 1,200 shows on there. Okay, sign up, become a member, because in about an hour, you can go with us underground with my guest. And we're going to talk about these things. We pray for each other. We are a community, folks. We talk about things the church definitely won't talk about. And tonight is not for the faint of heart, but it's for every true believer that's seeking truth. You need to hear this. My guest tonight, she was trafficked from birth, experimented on through MKUltra in ways you won't believe, in places that you won't believe. She was raised through a generational curse. We've heard that, but wait till you hear exactly how this happened to her. And where she was trafficked, where she was programmed. Over 25 personalities. But out of the darkness, she heard God's name. And the same God that watched her in those secret underground dark rooms is the same God who delivered her, healed her, and gave her a voice today. A voice for those who can't speak for themselves. And that's why I want to introduce to you, I'm very happy to introduce to you, Miss Lynn Scott Hagerman. Lynn, how are you?
Amen. I'm doing great. God bless you, David. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. Like I said earlier, man, I just saw you for the first time, and you just look too young, I mean, to have gone through all this. And because I did a pre-interview, I kind of know your story. Do you have children? You have a husband, a family?
So I have an ex-husband, and I do have a son, yes.
Okay.
We're estranged, so I don't talk about him really, but yes, I do.
Okay, but you don't have little children, you have adult children. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so let's talk about the fact you were trafficked. But I wanna go back to, we gotta peel the layer of the onion off piece by piece so people can follow along. At birth, did something happen at birth, like from birth to 5 years old? What happened to you during that period?
During that period, I had three primary events. I was sent to a neighborhood trafficking house that was regional. I was also sent to satanic ritualistic abuse at the local, regional, national, I believe international level. And I was also sent to a U.S. University Medical Center where I was experimented on underground with many, many children through MKUltra mind control in conjunction with the government.
Wow. What you just said is a whole show. I could dissect that and get into it. So, Lynn, you understand that when you say these things to a lot of mostly Christians, you know, I'm talking about brain dead lukewarm Christians. They think that you're have either lost your mind, you're on drugs, or you're just, you know, making stuff up. I mean, do you get that from the Christian community, from the church going community?
So far, no. My message has been shocks people, but they want to hear more and how they can help. Now, that being said, I do have a difficult time getting onto church-based social media programs to give my testimony because I think it's just too much for most of the body of Christ. But God activated me for such a time as this because he wants the world to know that this is happening to the little ones and he needs our help.
Yeah. So let's go back to what you said. Let's talk about MK Ultra. We're going to talk about these universities. This is from the time you were born to 5 years old. So during that time of being born to 5 years old, how did a five-year-old child, a newborn, end up in a university being tested? How did they fall under the clutches of MK Ultra? Where was your mother? Did she play a part in this?
She did. So let me go back in time a bit. There is generational pedophilia on my mother's side. And Kathy O'Brien, your audience, I'm sure, is familiar with her. She's become a good friend. She'll discuss the harm that generational pedophilia does. Why some people come out of this harming others, I'll never know, and some don't. But my mom came out of this. She hated me from the time I was born until the day she died, and I'll never know why. But she's the one that sent me to the child trafficking house in the neighborhood and forced me to go there. She's also the one that sent me to the U.S. University Medical Center. It was called CAMP, and I watched her pay the gentleman that came to get me. I'm confident he was from the government, part of her denial.
Okay, so let's talk first about the neighborhood, this house, trafficking house in the neighborhood. What kind of neighborhood were you raised in or was this in? Was it a rundown neighborhood? Was it a upscale? What was it?
So at first, whenever I talk about this part, the Lord likes me to call it anywhere USA, because it happens in every town in the United States and frankly worldwide. Yeah. And at that time, my family was lower economic social class, so poorer. However, that being said, my dad, he was a workaholic and an alcoholic, so he was never home and never knew. And the family owned a business, but still pretty poor.
Okay, so let's talk about this house that is the human trafficking house. Now, so you lived in a neighborhood. You lived on one of these little lots, you know, like Leave It to Beaver kind of homes. And are you saying that somewhere in this neighborhood, like one of these streets, 3-4 blocks away, there was a house just like yours? And in this house, there were human traffickers that took on little 5-year-old children in your neighborhood?
Yes. And they took on children. I rarely saw someone over probably 7 or 8 years old. And there were children coming and going all of the time. And where they came from when I was little, I don't know. But I have a suspicion that some were sold, some were kidnapped. They came from everywhere into the trafficking house.
Okay, so Lynn, I'm going to ask you some pretty tough questions here, as if an attorney would ask someone on a witness stand, because I think it's important. All of these kids coming from, and by the way, I'm not asking you because I don't believe you. I'm asking you because I want people to understand what this is really all about. Otherwise, it just becomes the Twilight Zone, right?
Right.
But all these kids coming and going and all these cars and all this, I mean, wouldn't the neighbor next door like be watching and make a phone call to the cops if it was happening over a period of years? How would they pull this off?
I believe a few things. First of all, I believe too many people turn a blind eye, and that's why we've gotten to the place that we are. I believe that the audience listening looks around their neighborhood and wonders about the cars that are coming and going. They know suspicious houses. You know, frankly, I live in a middle-class neighborhood and I've got a drug dealer down the street. I know it fully well from the houses coming and going. I've never called the police. Yeah. So I believe that that is a big part of it.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, could it be like, now I'm not making an accusation, so don't you guys go thinking of, you know, I'm going to talk about the Boy Scouts as an example, but could someone have like a Boy Scouts or like some, you know, young kids club or, you know, where they have meetings there and there's a reason the kids are coming and going? Is there ever fronts for it, or was it just a house?
So absolutely there are fronts for it because they want to make it look legitimate. Now, I'll tell you what else is involved. People are involved in pedophilia from all walks of life. Yeah. And the people I saw come to the trafficking house, they were in religious garb. They were law enforcement. They were businessmen. They were businesswomen. They were politicians. They were all walks of life. And so when you have all walks of life harming the little ones, they can get away with anything they want. And I know your audience is very familiar with that in modern day, why they've been able to get away with what they have.
Yeah. Well, see, the number one thing is it's a spiritual condition.
Yes.
It is a spiritual, and eyes are blinded. Okay. If you look at the evil that's there today, especially in politics and in law enforcement, the judicial system, you'll see that people have lost their minds literally. I mean,
yes.
And this is a condition of the spirit. God said, I'm going to paraphrase, that you keep this up, I'm going to throw a great, you know, everything is going to be, you're going to have, it's going to be like a magician, an illusion. You're going to be deluded. You're going to be, you know, lose your mind basically. And that's what these people have done. They get caught in their addiction of children so deep, and with pedophilia and so forth, they can't get out of it. They just get covered in it. Now, I want to ask you about the university, because you said at 5 years old. And by the way, folks, I'm not going to ask Lynn about what happened in this house and the different things. Why do we need to go there? I've gone there in so many interviews. You can go back and watch my hundreds of interviews on it. This is trafficking. This is human trafficking. It's child trafficking. And it is, I'm going to use the word intimate. They become very intimate with these children, right, Lynn? I mean,
So I use the word physical and mental torture. Yeah. I am here to represent the little ones, the voice for the voiceless. And I'm here, the words that are used by adults in this carry adult terminology, like sex trafficking, child sex trafficking. And you'll rarely hear me use the word sex, because from the little one's standpoint, It's frankly, it's physical and mental torture.
It's not. It's just torture. And so you're talking about the only thing I'm going to bring up about what happened in the house and in the university is the angle of SRA. So this is a form of satanic ritual abuse. Does satanic ritual abuse, the corporate satanic ritual abuse, happen in these houses where it's a coven or it's intentional for splitting into multiple personalities?
Yes, it is very intentional. They are fully aware of what they are doing. As a matter of fact, in hindsight, I can see that they also trained my mother to further that training whenever I was at home. So it very much is part of the mind control.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I want to talk about the universities. And I want to, and if you guys, by the way, if you're just now tuning in and you want to know what we're talking about, I'm talking to Lynn. Scott Hagerman, we're talking about the camp MK Ultra Underground Slave Auction. We're going to talk about, bring that up in the next segment here. Basically, she is now a survivor. Not only that, but she's out to help people, and she's kind enough to come on and share her story with us. So, Lynn, the university. So you're 5 years old. You've been younger, but let's say five, and you're in a university, and these universities are doing tests on you. Where are these universities? How are they doing it, and what are they doing?
So my first memories are whenever I was 2 or 3 years old, when I was taken to the university, and they have, so these are several universities throughout the United States, and I don't name names for obvious reasons, but it's very easy to find them because they're still doing experimentation, especially above ground now. Trans, for example, that the mutilation of the children.
Yeah.
So with the universities, if you can imagine, so after October, a couple of years ago, whenever Israel was attacked, we got to see on social media all of the hospitals underground in Israel to care for the soldiers. So this is not like mining shafts underground. It is sophisticated medical environment with laboratories underground. And it's in conjunction with our government through the CIA MK Ultra mind control. Mm-hmm. There were documents released in the National Security Archive in December of 2024, 1,200 documents never before released that explain more of this. So it's a very sophisticated setup where I would see government employees, medical staff, surgeons, doctors, nurses, med techs, where the experimentation would happen on the children.
Mm-hmm. I want to say something as a note to you guys out there listening. I've said it before, but I have to say it again because I want to make sure it's not misconstrued. I don't know Lynn's take on it, and she might agree with me. The government we're talking about is not Republican and Democrat and whatever, although there are members from everywhere that's involved in it. I'm talking about a deep state government. I'm talking about a government that you don't even see on the outside. It's been working for years. It's the Luciferian government. It's a puppeteer. And it's this government we're talking about. So don't run off to your local congressman and, you know, tell him that you ask him if he's part of, you know, this university, you know, experimentation. That's not where we're going with this. This is a, look, you got God's government and you got the Antichrist government. That's the government that I deal with. That's a government I talk about. And I think, Lynn, wouldn't you agree with something like that?
Wholeheartedly. That's wholeheartedly, David.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's get to the universities. There's several in the United States. And I think what I hear you say, correct me if I'm wrong, is they are doing these experiments, but, you know, they're medical labs. It's a cover. It's a front for it. That's what they do. But within that, they're doing these things that, well, they're not necessarily, you know, talking about maybe on the up and up. Maybe it's part of a, you know, classified type thing. I mean, is this kind of what I'm hearing?
Yes, for the most part, they do not talk about this on the up and up. However, more and more is becoming above ground. So we discovered, for example, North Carolina, you can look online, maybe 4 years ago, they were caught sewing the heads of babies onto mice and received government grant funding for that. So he and his experiments that still go on underground, some have come above, are happening above ground. And I include the trans surgeries in that too. It's I describe the underground like the Nazi concentration camps, because the same through Operation Paperclip, these same Nazi scientists were brought over to do this in the United States.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's in my book. I talk about that, Lynn, in this book right here. I talk about program multiples, human trafficking. I talk about Operation Paperclip, how they brought the Germans from Germany, the Nazi war medical criminals, through the Vatican, Red Cross passport, down to Central America or South America, changed their name, gave them a new passport, brought them up here and put them in hospitals across the country. You don't know this, but I'll share it with you. My audience does. I was a social worker many, many years ago. And I was assigned to the children's unit and forensics, children that committed heinous crimes, children that couldn't operate even within society. And so I'm very familiar with what you're talking about with this testing. I can't get into it now. But here's the other thing I want to share with you. When you said Operation Paperclip, I have to share this with you because it's so important if I have it. We've got a festival coming up and a screening coming up November the 15th in near Dayton, Ohio. And we're premiering this right here, Lynn. This is Last Evangelist Episode 3. What does it deal with? The theme of it is Operation Paperclip, is what happened to our children. What's going on with our children? I'm bringing that up because it fits right into what we're talking about, folks. Didn't want to make it a commercial right now because we're going to go to a break in a minute. But we're on the same page. Same frequency. I believe God brings people together to talk about these things because he brings the Holy Spirit into us and has us connect. Okay, now let's talk about you as 5 years old, and you went through these things, do you have a memory of going through them? Like, how do you know now at the age you are what you went through at 5 years old?
I have detailed memories, and I just have to say too, praise God for your work. I mean, praise God, David. There are so few people out there doing what you're doing. And I just, it blesses my heart and just brings me such joy that you're exposing everything that I've been through. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So this is how it has worked with me. Whenever it all stopped when I was 5 years old, God did what I call a brain erase. And 95% of my memories were gone so I could quasi-function in society. In 2011, I had my first repressed memory. And when they come back, it's like a photographic memory, but your whole body's involved, your mind, you feel it physically, mentally, emotionally, spirit, all of it. Okay. And thank goodness I had a spirit-filled, godly Christian therapist at that time helping me through a divorce. So she started helping me process out the trauma, and I have ever since. And with each memory, within 24 hours, God Almighty, He is so good, would give me something in the physical world that confirmed that those things really happened to me. Because I, in the beginning, I had a terrible time believing human beings would do that to children and animals. I had a terrible time with it, and I would fight it and fight it. And because I couldn't wrap my mind around it. And God would show me in the physical the exact thing I remembered. And it was like saying, it's okay, Lynn, you're safe now. I need you to remember. I want you to remember. It's part of your healing. This really happened.
Okay. So just to, as a reminder, you guys out there, a lot of times victims, just like Lynn, they have memory loss. You have there's a lapse of time. A lot of the people I interview, they can't remember their childhood to a certain point, or they don't even remember certain times, even 2-3 years ago. But I'm going to ask you, Lynn, do you think maybe God, it was the Holy Spirit? First of all, you couldn't remember, but then God started bringing back these memories. It could be the Holy Spirit downloading this so you could not only heal, but now you can help other people.
That's exactly it. Because I've gone through years and years of intense, I mean, I have fought hard for my healing. I work hard at it, and I still do. And then in January of last year, God activated me. He said, Lynn, you're healed enough. Now I want you to give your testimony. He said, I'll open the doors. You just keep walking, because He wants His people to know that this is real and it's happening. And the body of Christ, we have power, dominion, and authority over these evil demons. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6. I saw that when I was little. I still do. I see God, Jesus, angels, demons, went to heaven, still do that to this day. Very supernatural life because of my childhood.
You see in the spirit.
Yes, I do.
So do you remember anything about these doctors, these people? Like, did they have an accent? Did they talk a certain way? Is there any visuals to the Holy Spirit bringing this stuff back to you?
So I don't remember accents. I can remember different memories, what they said. They were very professional. The doctors and the nurses, they wore surgical garb because what they were doing was surgically based oftentimes. So they would have on, you know, the hat, the face mask, the whole garb. And there was normally a med tech there too. They were very professional. This was work to them because they were experimenting on the mind, and they were just very professional about their work. Very uncaring, unfeeling. While they would torture you, it was a job.
Mm. And this was through many ways, but one way through your sexuality, so that they could enter in and split a child. Because when the pain becomes so horrific, there's a disconnection. And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what happens to other people. Is this kind of the route that you took?
Yes. Because it's God's way of helping the little ones survive something that otherwise would be impossible to survive. Yeah. And so it's such a blessing.
Yeah. Now your mother, I want to talk about her for a second, because you mentioned that someone did to her what they were doing to you. It was just a generational pass it on down type of behavior curse. Do you think she was getting money out of this? Number one. Number two, how in the world did she know about it? Like, did she know somebody that was contacting her, or was it because this was done to her, she was automatically on the radar?
All the above. I saw her get paid. Frankly, she hated me so much, she would have given me away for no money at all. Yes, it was, I do believe that through these deep state systems, that once this has happened to you, it is very well known in different levels of society that aren't above ground per se, and they track and monitor.
Okay, so I got to get back. I wasn't going to ask this, but I got to ask it. And I know you said you don't know why, but I got to talk to you about this. I'm sorry. How many siblings did you have?
Two.
Two. A brother, sister?
Uh-huh. Yes.
A brother? Okay.
Yes, brother.
Older than you?
I was the middle.
Okay, you were the middle, and you had a younger sister, older brother. Did she hate them too? Did they go through what you went through?
No.
Okay. So do you have any idea, like any inkling of why she would do this to you? Why she hated you? Or why you thought she hated you? I mean, something happened?
I have suspicions. I have suspicions. So part of my memories is I remember actually being in the womb. And I remember talking to God in the womb. I came from God. And she hated me then. I could hear the screaming and the yelling. I could hear. And over the years, I love the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit. And over the years, I'll have 2 to 4 hours of Bible study and prayer time every day. It's part of what keeps me whole. And it also helps me sort through all these questions too, David. I have them myself. And over the years, the number one thing that God has told me about this is she hated me because my father loved me.
Okay.
So she was jealous. She was a narcissist.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you just a few questions. Was she a Christian? Yes or no?
No, although we went to church all the time.
Well, of course. Yeah. Catholic?
No.
Okay.
Episcopal. Raised Episcopal.
Well, you're getting close.
We are getting close.
Yeah, you're getting close. A derivative thereof. How about your brother and your sister? Were they Christians? Were they spiritual like you? And are they Christians now?
No, they're not spiritual like me. And they would say that they're Christians.
Ah, okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Could it be that Satan knew that you were a spiritual child, that you were going to grow up to do great works for God, so therefore you were targeted, and you were targeted since the womb? I know this sounds a little bit out there, but do you agree with that?
I would definitely entertain that. I have not, I think about that every now and then. Haven't fully sorted that through with the Lord yet, but yep. Frankly, that resonates and that makes perfect sense, because we are at this is a spiritual battle, good versus evil.
Yep.
And well, yes.
But yeah, it happened to me from a child. I was spiritual. I accepted Christ at 7. I could always see angels. I could always see demons. You know, I was always talking about God. And I love my sisters. They're going to be wrong, but they're not spiritual like that. And I'm not trying to, you know, try to put him back down. I love my sisters. I'm going to be wrong.
Yeah.
You see, the devil knew I was sensitive spiritually. And God was with me, and he was with you, I believe.
Yes.
So what happens, demons try to take us out. Okay, so when we come back, I'm going to be asking Lynn about this. I mean, I don't even know how to approach this, but this is the Camp MK Ultra Underground Slave Auction. What in the world are we talking about? I mean, how can this happen and people don't know about it? They don't make a phone call. I mean, they put a man on the moon. They got AI. They got all kinds of investigative stuff going on. They know everything about you and about me because we're on our phones. They don't know about this. Well, folks, this is a spiritual condition. That's why they don't know about it. That's why it doesn't make sense, because it's spiritual. because God is blinding the eyes of certain people, and he's allowing this to happen. This isn't the devil overcoming. This is God giving, and his patience is being worn out with the lukewarm church. And he's saying, I'm giving you up. I'm not going to tolerate you anymore, okay? And this is why we do what we do here at David Hebner TV. Please, please become a member. You can watch Last Evangelist. It's the only place. And we've got all these different shows, 1200, L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar, Josh Peck. I mean, just all kinds of different shows. And also, too, we've got, like I said, we're on 15th of November, we're going to premiere The Blood, episode 3 of Last Evangelist. Okay. And we need your help. We need for you to go sign up to davidhebner.tv. And if you would, I would love for you to be a part of our film festival. This is right here. You can submit your film, your music. You can even do a 3 to 5 minute testimony, submit it. You only have 3 days left. And it's online. You don't have to be there in person. It's online. Get your tickets here. You can become a sponsor if you'd like to help sponsor us. That would be awesome, too. We really would appreciate that. We do need your help on that. And so I appreciate you guys. All right. So let's get back to it. We're talking to Lynn Scott Hagerman about her journey through human trafficking as a child. Now I'm talking about a young child. But now we're going to talk about the camp. MK Ultra, this underground slave auction. And I've got with me Lynn in the studio here. Let me dig her up. Hey, Lynn. And by the way, before I forget it, it's not much, just a few days. You ought to put your testimony on a phone and submit it to the festival.
Yes, I looked at that earlier today, and I blocked out some time tomorrow because it just takes 3 to 5 minutes. So, yeah.
Yeah. You've got a great tester. You should definitely, because it'll bless a lot of people. A lot of people have eyeballs on it. All right, let's talk about the camp. I mean, folks, listen, this is the kind of stuff that I don't need to write to make up stuff to write a script for Last Evangelist. I can talk to Lynn, and she's given me episodes 6, 7, and 8, right? It's just too unbelievable, but yet it's real. Lynn, what is the camp and what happens at the camp and where is it?
So the camp is what they call the University Medical Center. And when I was taken there, what would happen would be a man from the government would come to where I lived, and mom would write him a check for me to go to camp. And then he would put me in the back of a car, hood me and drug me and take me to the University Medical Center. And whenever I started remembering,
hang on, he put you in the back of a car and drug you, gave you drugs.
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure people didn't think he drug you on the ground. Like I'm seeing a rope tied around your feet. Okay. He gave you, he medicated you. Gotcha. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. And then, whenever the memory started coming back, it is like a photographic memory. And at the university, it started at the Performing Arts Center. Most people have been to performing arts centers at universities. The walls are complete glass, and there would be hundreds and hundreds of children there each time I went, and they would be separated by those that had homes to go to and those that did not. And there would be adults moving the children here and there, organizing them into groups. And then we would go inside, and then there would be the money changing tables, is what the little girl and me would call, where the money was exchanged when the pedophiles came. And they'd be like those folding tables. I'm sure your audience has been at events where you give money at the folding tables before you go inside. And then all the children were put backstage. And then we would come out and perform for the pedophiles. And that's whenever the child slave auction would start. And the pedophiles in the audience would buy the child or children that they wanted for the evening. And that was the slave auction.
Okay, so this happened at a place where they would have like a performing arts. People would come in and dance, and they would sing, and And it just happened to be a children's night, performing arts night for children, in a nice area. Nice area. There's like your regular.
Right. Just a university. Yeah.
A university. Then people would come and they would watch the kids dance and sing. Like, would you'd be in this? Would they put you in a little ballet outfit and have you get up and sing? I don't know.
Think more like, I've never been to one, but think more like stripper clubs.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's as far as we're going to go on that. But you can imagine, folks. And now, would they have security to make sure certain people couldn't get in?
Had to be a protected area so they couldn't be, exposed, right?
It would have to be. I don't remember seeing security, but yeah. I'm not sure, being that little, I would recognize who was doing what. It was just a lot of adults.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about MK Ultra. And most of my audience knows what it is. Go ahead and tell me what MK Ultra is and how it ties in to your journey.
So what was happening with the experimentation underground was through the MK Ultra mind control programs. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, part of the torture and programming that they would do is the electrocution, a lot of drugs involved. And part of the electrocution would be, I remember wearing the hats that you would see, lots of wires and tubes coming out. And the whole reason for MK Ultra is to put fear in people and harm them so severely that they become willing to do whatever they're asked to do.
Yeah. Well, part of that, because I come from a world of mental health, and just as I was getting out of it, they had not yet outlawed shock therapy. And I was present during the shock therapy. I help administer it along with, a doctor. But part of that shock clears out what they call the central nervous system. It actually either makes you neutral or just wipes out. It's supposed to wipe out depression, bad memories. The problem is it takes out all the memories. That's the problem. And so that's part of what they do, is it hits the central nervous system. And then the drugs, which when I was in the field of mental health, they issued Thorazine. Again, it's in my book if you guys want to read it. They don't do it anymore because the Thorazine is so detrimental to the nervous system and to the central. So you see, all this stuff, Lynn, was done many, many years ago legally through the system, right? And so they just ramped it up now. But anyway, so okay, they put this thing on your head, electrocute. What was the purpose of MK Ultra in your life? What role did they play?
So for me, during the purpose of the MK Ultra would have been several. One would have been to be compliant with the pedophiles, because no little child would remotely think anything that I was required to do. You had to do it. And you had to do it willingly, compliantly, exactly how they said. So that was part of it, because we had the customers were paying for it. And yeah. So they wanted certain things. So it's to control what you would do for the customers was part of it. Also, I was considered a leader of the children. And mm-hmm. So I was a trainer. And so part of this, too, was to get me to, again, be compliant with whatever they wanted, which would include training other children how to do whatever it was that they were wanting the children to do.
Okay. All right. So after you were in it, and how old were you when you became a trainer?
By three years old.
Okay. And how long were you in it? When did you get out of it? What age were you when you finally got out of it?
So when I got out of the trafficking house and the University Medical Center, I was probably about four and a half. And my parents got divorced. It was just that simple. We moved pretty far away into a town that my grandmother was at. She had no idea what was going on. And so it stopped because of the proximity. However, there was a pedophile neighbor in his 80s, and my mom required me to go to his house while she would sit a few feet away in her house and drink coffee and smoke cigarettes. And so that continued for a few months until finally I said something. And then she knew that she couldn't do these things to me anymore because she would be in jail, because now I was speaking.
Now you were speaking out. But what age did it finally stop?
When I was 5.
Okay, so after 5, there was no more assaults against your little body. That was over, right?
That was over. That's right.
All right. Now, I want to get into 25 personalities. You were a program multiple. You had multiple personalities?
Yes, I did. I was fully aware of all of them. Okay. And so they were each part of me.
Okay. All right. Was one personality that was programmed, or was it programmed for a specific agenda? Was this the trainer that you were talking about? Was that one of the personalities?
Yeah. So when it comes to personalities, and I know that you're an expert on this too, you normally have one primary dominant one, and then the others to take care of other things that happen for you to survive. And so I did have a primary dominant personality that was one of her roles was, yes, a trainer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. These alters. So you said you had 25. Who told you you had 25? Did you actually deal with them one by one? Or, I mean, how'd you come up with 25?
One by one. It came as I was processing out the trauma. And okay. That's one of my main techniques that I, to this day, process out the trauma, which is a technique called EMDR that my therapist uses. And during that process, I'll have partial memories because I'll get triggered somehow and need to process out the trauma. And while remembering, then I start remembering, it's almost as if other people were there as opposed to me. Mm-hmm. And those, and the way that God is so wonderful, the way he made our brains is to be able to survive that, a part of me comes out who's able to take the horrific, heinous things being done to my little body and mind. Right. And then once it's over, it's like amnesia, and that part goes back away so that I can quasi function as a normal person in society. And then when that exact trauma comes back again, when I was little, that part of me would come out because that part of me knew how to handle it. So I learned about them one by one by one as each and every horrific memory has come out.
Okay. What was it like for you in puberty, in your teenage years, going through school, dating, when you got into the world of sexuality, you know, as any typical teenager would do, were you pretty healthy? Did you look at things? Did you close down? Did you act out? I mean, where were you on the scope?
So I was in the most popular group of girls in the high school. So I was extremely popular. I'm highly intelligent, which is another reason why I was chosen when I was little. Yeah. And a very top performer. I was the president of all the clubs. I was an overachiever in everything. Okay. And so when it came to my personal life with dating, I was like all of the other girls in high school acted at that time.
Okay. Yeah. So kind of, I'm going to walk people through this and tell me if I'm walking the right path. When you're programmed, you do have a personality that will take care of it. It's someone that kind of guides it through and oversees. And it could be that you stepped into quote normal with that personality because you had not come into your consciousness of this yet. And so you were being that was part of your programming because it was pretty normal, you know. And then of course when you get deep down into it later on in life and you find out these things, you find out what you really went through. Because I got to tell you, Lynn, if you were not programmed and you went through what you just told me you went through from the age of five, 9 times out of 10, you would have acted out. You would have been a prostitute. You would have had multiple partners. I mean, you can just name it, because this is what happens when people get sexually assaulted. It's toxic shame. They go out, they try to fix it. They act, they do it over and over again. But something's telling me there's more going on with Lynn at this point. When you're a teenager and here you are, like, kind of a perfect little girl growing up. What's going on with that?
So a perfect little girl would describe part of me, because I was extremely obedient to the nth degree, because that had been tortured into me. Right. If someone asked me to do something, I was going to do it. And not only was I going to do it, I was going to follow every minute detail and overachieve. And that was what I did when I was little, thinking I would not be physically and mentally tortured if I did that. However, of course, I always was anyway. But when you're that little, you don't have the mental capacity to think differently.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But that's one of the personalities, is to you're an overachiever. Perfection. You're going to obey, you know. It was kind of a cover up. So let me ask you what age you were when you discovered these things that went on when you were from birth to 5 years old, and that you did have all these multiple personalities. How old were you?
So I started figuring it out bit by bit, even before I started therapy. So I would say probably in my 30s. You know, that is the normal age when most people start remembering. Is in their 30s, bit by bit.
Yeah.
And so that would have been it.
Yeah. So did you think anything was wrong? I mean, let's go through the math on this. You're 16 years old, you're dating kind of a normal, what would seem a normal gal. You're pretty popular. How did you go from 16 to 30 years old, which is a span of about 12, 13, 14, 15 years of just, you know, gliding through life, and all of a sudden 30 years old pops up and I go, wow, wait a minute, I got 25 personalities. Like, what unfolded to get to that point?
So I guess I wouldn't say I glided through life. Whenever I said I was normal, like the girls my age, you know, describing high school, this was what high school was like for me, and I think it's even worse today. But there was extensive drinking, there was extensive promiscuity, and it's even worse today. So from a Christian standpoint, it was anything but normal. From a high school person, that was extremely normal. And during that whole time, I was also an alcoholic. I started drinking. I had my first drink when I was 16 years old, got blackout, dead drunk, and never quit. And that, of course, you know, you fast forward to an adult, and that was because I was trying to forget things, the bulk of which I only had 5% of my memory from my childhood. Mm-hmm. But my subconscious knew, I always knew my entire life something was horribly, horribly, horribly wrong with me. But mm-hmm. I never knew what, because I didn't have my memory.
Yeah.
So my coping technique, you know, I was an alcoholic. So yeah. So I wasn't, you know, gliding.
So I want to say two things, Lynn. There's a lot of people that they're promiscuous. Girls date, go to bed with a lot of guys. A lot of girls do that. A lot of girls drink at 16, become alcoholics, you know, that kind of thing. But they're not program multiples. Okay, so there was something different going on with you, which I want to come back to. But then on the other hand, I believe there's a lot of people out there that are promiscuous. They're doing all these things. They are drinking, doing drugs, but they have something in their background like you had. There are programs, and they don't even realize it. They even go to the grave with it because they drink themselves to death or overdose on drugs. What do you say about that?
I agree 100%. There are so many people that do not remember what's happened to them. You know, getting into statistics, the FBI says that 800,000 children in the United States are and I'm going to use, they say missing. I'm going to say kidnapped, taken against their will, put in these houses, put underground a year. It's as if the entire population of Kansas City filled up and disappeared year after year after year after year with children. So this has happened to so many people.
See this right here, experimental subject. This is in Last Evangelist, episode 3. These are babies that disappear, and there's no one can account for it, and no one talks about it. It's documented. Exactly what you said is so true. It's like socks that go in a dryer. You ever, never can find that other sock. Remember that?
Yes.
It treats these children like socks in a dryer, which is just, I tell you what, Jesus, God is not happy with this, because he held a child on his lap. He said, if you touch one of these little ones, you're better off getting taken to the bottom of an ocean.
Amen.
Around your neck. Okay. So we've got just a few minutes here. I want to ask you, and we're going to talk a lot about underground. You're going to be with us on underground, right?
Yes. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
I'm excited. Okay. And you guys, if you're not members of the network, go to davidhebner.tv and sign up right now. And Lynn, I got to do this because people keep, you know, emailing me. Then they go, I don't know how to do it. Okay. You sign up and then we send you, you send us an email at admin@davidhebner.tv. See that admin that you send that. I'm going to send you a link, just says one time only. And then from then on, you'll be able to get that link. So do that so you can come with Lynn and I and all the group so we can go underground. And God really works underground because, man, we pray for each other and people say things that just really encourage one another. And there's a lot of healing that goes on. So one of my last things I want to ask you is when at 30 years old, and of course, you start drinking at 16, you became an alcoholic. And I guess through the alcohol years, you probably got married and had a child and went through all that stuff. But then something happened at 30 years old, or around 30, that triggered something. So did you have various personalities pop up? Because you had 25 of them. Did they take over to where you didn't remember and you were acting out? And then that caused you to get to the tipping point of you saying, wait a minute, I got to know what's going on.
So from my perspective mentally, those different parts of me, I was fully aware of not the depth of the trauma, because I hadn't remembered, again, 95% of it, but I was fully aware that something was really wrong with me, and that depending upon situations that I would get in, I would act different ways, and I couldn't seem to control it, how I was acting and behaving, mm-hmm. and it would depend upon the situation. Mm-hmm. And so I always struggled and fought with that. And thankfully, because of my intelligence level, I was able to smooth over quite a bit, because it would happen primarily socially and through business and work, because I would get triggered with people. People, I consider people, I'm much better now, but I consider people landmines, because I was harmed by women, men, old, young, children, you know, everybody. So every person was a landmine, and depending upon the social situation or business situation I was in, the different sides of me would have to come out and deal with it, while the other sides of me were fully aware of what was happening and were freaking out most of the time. It was a very difficult, stressful way to live.
Well, let's dissect that. Give me a trigger. Like, give me a scenario. Would somebody say something, do something, and who would it be? What would it trigger you to do?
So, for example, my day job, I am an international award-winning human resource consultant. But that's my day job. And before, I've had my day job for a while now. And before,
you're a human trafficker when it comes to putting people into businesses. Okay, I got you. Go ahead. Yeah.
Tell you what I do. I do legal investigations now, and I always get my man or woman because of my childhood, because I have 44 times the visual and auditory acuity of anyone else, and I'm a human lie detector. I read people like a large print book under a magnifying glass. So it's really, you know, what happened to me has become a gift. But and I'm so much better now. So I'm very, very, you know, I'm still working on everything. I'm so much better. But to give you an example of, you know, this would be years ago, one of my major, matter of fact, it was my number one client at the time. Anytime I heard a tone of voice that was the least bit critical, I mean the least bit negative, like on a 10 point scale, 10 meaning horrifically negative, if it was a 0.00001, then that would be a trigger. Because when I was little, that would mean soon I was going to be physically and mentally tortured in heinous ways. They were so creative, I had no idea it was going to happen to me. And so instantly when I would hear that in a tone of voice, and remember, I've got 44 times the auditory acuity, so it didn't take much for me to hear it. Then at that point, parts of me, at least say half of me, left, just had to get out and run mentally would be the best way to describe it, because could not deal with that. Then the other part of me was the strong, say that three-year-old would come into play and take care of that, while I would hear, kind of like hearing in my mind, all these little children screaming and crying because they knew that they were about ready to be tortured. And that's, but front facing, most people were never aware of what was happening. And I'm sure they always knew that something was different. But yeah.
So Lynn, give everybody your website, how they can get in touch with you, because we're coming, hitting the clock here. What's your website?
Qgrit.org.
Qgrit.org. Okay. Lynn, thank you so much. You're not going anywhere. You're going to stay with us underground, but you've been a blessing during this time. And
you have too.
Yeah, thank you so much. So, all right, we're going to see you in a few minutes underground, okay? All right. God bless you. Lynn Scott Hagerman, everybody. I'm going to be asking her, what else triggered her? What'd she do? Did you ever get violent? What about acting out sexually? Because I mean, she was attacked sexually. What, you know, I'm going to ask her these categories. So be with me, because maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you've gone through this. Maybe you know somebody that might be going through it. That's why we're doing what we're doing. I'm going to ask her about how the military is connected to this. Maybe, maybe not. What about symbols, music? What are some of the other triggers? And I'm going to ask about a few of the other personalities I didn't get to. All right. So I want you to go with me and see how the Holy Spirit is going to guide us into, I believe, a new level of understanding when it comes to this. Because, folks, there's a child missing every moment. And you and I, we now know. What are we going to do about it? All right. All right. Just a few things here. If you would, if you could go to davidhebner.tv/give, consider being a partner in this ministry. We need you. There's not many of us doing this, and I want to help people like Lynn tell her story to other people. You can text the word CHOSEN to 91999, call 844-806-0006, or you can sign up to David Hebner TV. That, sign up for a year. It's just like 50 or 60 bucks, but look what you get for that. If you've got a home or land, you can donate it, and that will help this ministry. 855-500-RIDE or 844-277-HOME. Don't forget about your My Vaccines, the Blood of Jesus t-shirt. The Holy Spirit is my booster. We have all this stuff on lastevangelist.com, all of our things. And you can go and you can donate to help us make the make episode 5, 6, and 7. We're coming out with 3. Next week, we're coming out with 4 in December, and I'm excited. So, all right. So listen, go with me to underground. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes, and just remember, you never really lived till you found somebody worth dying for, and that's Christ Jesus. Everybody, David here. We are in small town USA today for the gathering. And in small town USA, there are small churches. And if you look behind me, you're probably wondering, David, why is the Last Evangelist banner against this church here? Well, this is what we're going to be talking about. Okay, surprise. Why is it? Because we are now going into churches. And that church happened to put Last Evangelist inside a movie theater. Folks, if you go to a church and you want this information to be in your church, you contact us. Send me an email, david@davidhebner.tv. That was the church we went to last week in Ohio. And I want to thank Pastor Shannon and Peg for hosting us. Okay. I just wanted to show that to you. God bless you. I love you all. Hey, everybody. I am honored and blessed not to have just one new book out, but two new books. That's right. Two new books. The first one is End Times Investigation. I deal with Hollywood mind control. I deal with demon portals, the alien-demon connection, astral projection, program multiples, satanic ritual abuse, and much, much more. The things that I talk about in Last Evangelist and on my shows, the all my interviews I do, it's right here in this book, especially my life story. Also, True Power, how to access your true power in these last days, okay? It's a war manual for God's children. We need to learn the enemy's tactics and how to battle the enemy in these last days. Pick up a copy of this book. Just text the word CHOSEN to 91999, or you can go to davidhebner.tv/order, or you can simply call 844-806-0006. We have the new End Times DVD, 8 hours of me investigating things like Satanism, demonic powers, Illuminati, New World Order, Antichrist, One World Religion, End Times Miracles, Bible Prophecy, and the alien-demon connection with L.A. Marzulli. So I want you to text the word CHOSEN to 91999, the word CHOSEN to 91999, and get the End Times Investigation DVD.